Northminster's next chapter. If you're a guest here today, welcome. We are pleased that you've joined us. You may not be aware that our congregation has been in a period of discernment, and 2 weeks ago, we voted to unite with Atlee Community Church. And we will become Atlee Community Church Northminster Campus. And that actually turns over and takes place this week, or last week. We're learning the transitions are a little messy, but we are in this process. And so today we are celebrating who we have been and who God is calling us to be. So I chose this one verse, just one verse, to talk with you about. It's from the book of Isaiah, and the Lord God is speaking. And God says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" The creator of heaven and earth is asking a question. God, the creator of all there is making an inquiry. And while you are scratching your head, wondering, is this a trick question? How do I answer this? Let me tell you how you answer it. The answer, when God points at some brand new thing the Creator is doing and asks, "Do you not perceive it?" The answer is always, "No, Lord, we don't. We don't. I don't. What new thing are you talking about?" Now, look, that's nothing against us. That is the human condition. God begins to do this amazing thing and says, "Look over there. Do you perceive it?" "No, Lord, we don't." And it's not just us, okay? So when Joseph in the Old Testament was sold into slavery, he had no clue that God was in the process of doing an amazing new thing through him. When Moses stood before the elders of Israel and said, "I have spoken personally with Yahweh, and I have been assured that we are about to be released from slavery," they couldn't imagine it. "Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it?" When Mary told the angel Gabriel, "Let it be to me as you have said," she could not fathom the length and breadth, the height and depth of all the new things God was about to do because she had said yes. You see how it works? God moves in the world to do good things, and it is the human condition not to be able to perceive it. The answer is always, "No, Lord, no." This morning, we stand in a long line of faithful people who have looked at the blank page of the future and wonder, "God, are you really doing a new thing in this? Are you really at work with us?" So, next slide, here's the question. What kind of new are we talking about? That's what I want to talk with you about for just a few minutes. Linda and I go to the beach every summer, and I've been preparing because I want to read while I'm there. So I picked up this book of essays by Ann Patchett. It's called This is the Story of a Happy Marriage. I also have a novel by her that is called Truth and Beauty. I'm looking forward to reading this book by Pat Conroy. Do you know Pat Conroy? Great Southern writer. This is his memoir, and it's called The Death of Santini. And then there's this book by Sue Monk Kidd, The Invention of Wings. Sue Monk Kidd spoke here about, what, 7 or 8 years ago? And anyway, and I ordered a book from Amazon this week. It's their bestseller, Capital in the 21st Century. It's an economics textbook, but it describes what's going on. So anyway, I am set for 2 weeks at the beach with all these books. Why am I telling you this? Because these books are different, okay? There's a book of essays. There are two novels. There's an economics textbook. But they have one thing in common. They are all written in chapters. every one of them. Are you familiar with this technique that writers use? How there's a chapter one, a chapter two, a chapter... You're familiar. And so if you're at the beach and you're reading like Pat Conroy's South Abroad, which I did a couple years ago, it's got like 42 chapters. Each chapter builds on what the author has done and launches you a little farther into the future of what the author is going to do. That's how chapters work, right? You don't get to chapter 7, close the book and say, well, he can't do any better than that. That's as good as the author can possibly do. I'm going to put the book away. No, you read chapter 8 and chapter 9 all the way to chapter 42. Books are in chapters. Even this book. Next slide. We put it large so you could see it. This is our church history book. Amazingly, like every other book I know of, it is written in chapters. And if you haven't read it and would like to, we have copies. We have copies. So, chapter 1 is about how the church started, the beginning, 1891. This church is 123 years old. And then there's another chapter, a growing church. This is the building I'm going to talk about in just a couple of minutes. It's on Haines Avenue. It's 0.6 miles from here. And the congregation moved into this building in 1928 and stayed there until 1956. And then there's another chapter, our sanctuary here, and another chapter about the challenges of the 60s and the 70s. Yeah, it is written in chapters. Now, I pointed out last month that the history book, A People Called Northminster, ends with the church's history in 1975. Did the church's history end in 1975? Nah, we're here today. We have written chapter after chapter after chapter. They just haven't been published. I mean, there was a chapter about the first Habitat for Humanity house that we built alongside our friends at Metropolitan African American Baptist Church. We wrote a chapter in the early 90s about the Romanov family. How many of you remember them? A family of Russian exiles who literally were on the plane, and our missions committee said, yes, we'll adopt them. We don't know how we'll do this. It was a mom and a dad and 7 children. And boy, did God teach us a lot. Chapter after chapter. There's a chapter we wrote when we expanded our food ministry, and it began to spawn neighborhood mission after mission after mission, okay? So we have been writing additional chapters, and today, one Northminster chapter ends, and another chapter begins. Today is an ending, and significant endings stir up sadness. Some of us feel sad today. In fact, I imagine I'm not the only one who walked into this room today feeling that this was more like visiting a funeral home than visiting the nursery in the hospital. Right? Well, chapters are both. A chapter is an ending. You have to put a period, you turn the page, and you begin. And endings always feel sadness. But Northminster's history has been filled with endings that were days of significant change. When they moved from one location to another, as they did 5 times in the history of the church, it felt like today. Because there were memories in that old location. There was history in that old location. Are we going to lose all of that when we move? When long-term pastors resigned or retired, it felt like today. How will we go forward? Our friend Glenn Akins from the Virginia Baptist Mission Board is here celebrating with us today. Glenn, I did some math. It was pretty easy for me. The church has had 13 pastors. The average tenure of pastors in this church is 9.5 years. I think that's something of a record among Baptist churches. It would have been longer, except for the three pastors, two who stayed 2 years and one who stayed 1 year. But there have been times, you know, when the congregation relocated to this campus, it felt a little bit like today, because so many memories were left behind. By the way, they worshiped at the Haines Avenue location for the last time on April 29th, 1956. And they worshiped for the first time in this room the first Sunday in May. It seems like history is recycling with the dates and the chapters ending and beginning. Now, the reason it felt hard is there was a lot of change in 1956 when they moved here. First change was they changed the name of the church. It had been Barton Heights Baptist Church since 1891. And they changed the name to Northminster. Some people didn't think much of that, did they? They changed. They went from a beautiful sanctuary to worshiping in this room, except it wasn't decorated this nicely. It was a gymnasium. They had to have two Sunday morning worship services instead of one because there wasn't room to fit the people. Do you see change? Oh, here was a big one. Barton Heights had a weekly newsletter. It was called the Barton Heights what? Banner. Banner. Do you know why they remember this? Because 1956, they said, we're not Barton Heights anymore. We have to change the name to the Northminster News, weekly newsletter. When I showed up 30 years later, some people still call the Northminster News the Banner. Change comes hard in Richmond, Virginia. Talk about endings and new beginnings. This church has had a lot of them. I believe it's good for us to remember today that we are not the first people who were members of this congregation who walked from the ending of one chapter to the beginning of another chapter. And while we're at it, we should recall that people who have gone before us have demonstrated how to move from one chapter to the next. You are familiar with this window. Next slide, please. Yeah? Some of you have stared at this window for countless hours waiting for sermons like this one to be over. Right? Everybody's familiar with the Sermon on the Mount window. It is the focal point of the sanctuary. I could go on and on about this window, designed by Pastor Clyde Hickerson, crafted in Munich, Germany. It is 16 feet wide, 32 feet tall. Why do I know these things? It was given by the Willie H. White family during the construction of the sanctuary. You're familiar with this. Here's another of our stained glass windows. Next slide. Anybody familiar with this one? Not so much. It has a name. The name of this window is the George T. Waite Memorial Window. Here's a picture of Dr. Waite. He was pastor of Northminster in 1917, they called him. He was 33 years old. It was a difficult time for the church. The church had just become paralyzed. They really didn't know if they could keep going. And they called this 33-year-old guy. Well, turns out he was one heck of a pastor. He was a great teacher. He was a great administrator. And in 11 years, he led the church to build that Haines Avenue sanctuary and educational complex. The congregation went during his time from membership of 382 to membership of 1,246. 11 years. And they called him to become executive director of what was then the Virginia Baptist Mission Board. Okay? Guess what the history book says members felt when Dr. Waite left? We will never have another pastor as good as Dr. Waite. The church is going downhill from this point forward. The church at that time was 37 years old. It is now 123 years old. Dr. Waite served as executive director of the mission board for 8 years. And then he died tragically at 52. When he did, the Barton Heights congregation wanted to honor him and they wanted to remember a significant phase of their history. So they commissioned this window. Next slide. The Waite Memorial Window, and they installed it on Haines Avenue. 20 years later, when the building was sold to the First African Baptist Congregation, in the contract it was stipulated that this window was not part of the sale. They brought the window here, and for 8 years it sat in storage. And then, 1964, when they built the sanctuary, they installed it in the Grand Corridor. The Northminster Barton Heights congregation has always moved into the future by honoring the past. And we are no different today. The name of the church becomes this week Atlee Community Church, Northminster Campus. We are bringing the history and heritage of the past with us. You come to this next chapter and you bring the creative, missional, forward-thinking DNA of the church with you into this new chapter. And that's what we remember today. Can we see that verse again? Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I want you to remember the promises that God gives in this 43rd chapter of Isaiah, because it's a good word for people who are walking from one chapter of a church's life to the next. Here's the promise. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am Yahweh your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious in my eyes. Do not be afraid. I am with you. That's God's promise to us as we turn the page and move into the new chapter of Northminster's life. Nelson Parker, campus pastor here at Northminster, is going to share a few words with you about where we are and practically about where we are going this summer. Nelson?
Good morning. Let me turn your attention right now and answer some practical questions that many of you have, and I've overheard a lot of you asking these questions. Where do we go from here? Well, one, this is your last service here. Next Sunday, I hope that all of you will come to our Mechanicsville campus and worship with us there at 10:30. My intention there is that we would all gather in the auditorium at Mechanicsville at 10:30. If you walk into the auditorium, you will turn left, and there'll be a section off to the left. I want everybody seated there. That's where I'm going to be. That's where staff will be. That's where I want us to integrate together with people from Atlee and Northminster, so we can get to know each other, so that we can begin to create what I'm going to call a launch team for when we come back in this facility back in the fall. So what's going to be happening during the summer? Well, there's some neat things that I have planned. I don't have dates for you yet, but I do have some ideas that we're talking about. We want to do a summer concert, a prayer service, a kid stuff production, which is basically for elementary age kids. It's what I call Nickelodeon meets Sunday school. It's a production with a lot of energy, life, and kids absolutely love it. We will also have evening services leading up to our launch in September. So that will probably be on Saturday night, and as we get closer to that, I'll give you more specifics. The other thing I want to do when we collect or gather together during church services in Mechanicsville is afterwards, maybe we'll go out and have a meal together. We'll do things after the church service as well to stay connected during this time. So when will the renovation start? The renovations on the sanctuary will begin in May. We've already started taking bids on some of the work, and so hopefully we will get started on that in May. What can I do to stay connected? Participate in what we already have that are existing here now, the partnerships that we have, such as the Youth Life Foundation. They're already looking for people to help get involved with their summer program. There's the food pantry, the food co-op, and the community market are always looking for volunteers. What are some other ways that we can stay connected? How about getting involved with the renovations or landscaping or even cleaning up and organizing the facilities? All these are opportunities for you to serve your community. Another question that was raised, how do I give? How do I give my offerings and my tithes? Well, for those that are tech savvy and like to give online, you can go online to our website, which is atleychurch.org. And if you scroll down at the bottom of the page, it says donate now. You'll see that you can choose Northminster campus as an option to give online. Otherwise, whenever you write a check, make it out to Atlee Community Church, and then in the memo, put Northminster campus. That's how we'll be able to track it to this particular campus. So how do we handle the communications? We use email, Facebook, the website. But please, if you have a question and you don't know where to find the answer, call. Call me. I'll give you my cell phone. It's 804-405-7125. You can call me. Or email me, call the office, any one of those things. But don't stop asking. If you can't find it, just call. That's all you got to do. Now, I'm getting ready to go on vacation for 2 weeks. And you can laugh because I'm, what's that? Unfortunately, I do get cell service in Hawaii. I talk to my daughter on a regular basis. So I'm going to Hawaii to visit my daughter, and we're excited about that. I'm anxious to get some rest because I know when I come back, there'll be plenty of work to do. But in the meantime, you can contact Sammy or Mary Beth or anybody on staff if you have questions. One thing that means the most to me that I can ask of you during this time is I'd love to have volunteers come out and stand in the gap and pray for this church. Every day I walk around this church, this block, and I pray for this place. And I'd ask that some of you would volunteer and do that in my absence. I would greatly appreciate it. Now at this time, let me share some thoughts with you that Sammy touched upon. Change. Not everyone likes change. I know that I didn't. I used to be that way because I love maintaining things. Keep the status quo. Don't rock the boat. Keep things the way they are. I was comfortable. I lived in Bonaire with my family, 4 kids, 2 dogs. Lovely wife, I was comfortable. But without change, we stunt our growth. Change is good. We know a God of change. We know that Jesus changed people's lives forever. Change can come with wonder and excitement, opportunity to experience something new and awesome. What was it like when the paralytic stood up and walked? Or the blind man could see? Or Lazarus was raised from the dead? There was excitement. There was amazement. Now, when we ask for something in prayer, aren't we asking for something to change? Change causes growth. And I've experienced more change in the last 2 years than I could have ever imagined in my life. Because I stepped out of my comfort zone. I came to this place in January 2012, got out of my car and began to pray for this place. Knew nobody. Had only met Sammy once on a retreat. It was a strange place for me, but I knew God had me there for a reason. Along my journey, I've hosted a homeless retreat. Had no idea what that was about, other than it changed people's lives. It changed mine forever. And then out of the blue, my wife calls me and says, I found a house on Mossside. I said, you did what? And we weren't even looking to move. It was God moving in her life and in mine. And back in June of this past year, we moved into Montrose Avenue on the 2900 block. And I'm standing here today as a result of the prayers and a result of change. Change that God did in my life and my wife's life and all of our lives. I've grown the most as a result of change. Change is not a bad thing. Change does not mean that we forget our past. What it does mean is we can't cling to the past in a way that prevents us from moving into the future. Change does not mean we don't honor those who have gone before us and allowed us to be here today. If we don't appreciate our history, then let's just throw away the Old Testament. In the midst of change, we look back on what we've learned from our past and look forward with excitement for what the future holds. Let me end my time now by taking a reading from this book that A People Called Northminster. On June 7, 1964, Dr. Hickerson dedicated the sanctuary. This is what he wrote. We dedicate this church to the preaching of the gospel of Christ and our belief that the principles of his gospel will bring light, healing, and peace to mankind. For the training of the youth and the building of character, for the giving of hope and courage to all human hearts, and for the teaching of morality, justice, and righteousness. For comfort to those who mourn, for strength for those who are tempted, for help in right living, for the welfare of the home, for the guidance of the youth, for the salvation of all people, for the furtherance of the worldwide program of Jesus, for the encouragement of missionary endeavor at home and abroad, for Christian evangelism and education, for the promotion of social righteousness and the building of human brotherhood, for the promotion of that Christian unity which sees beneath all formal differences a bond of fellowship and endeavors to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In grateful remembrance of all those who have gone before us in the faith of our fathers, without whose sacrifice and piety we could not have built, and with glad thoughts of those who shall come after us to enjoy the benefit of this which we have done. That this may be for all people a house of prayer, that men may be conscious that God is in this place, that it may be to them the house of God and the gate of heaven. Amen.
Amen. On your table, there are the elements of communion. Before I dismiss you to the yard, I thought we would join together and join together across the centuries with those who have come before us. If you would pass the bread and break off a piece, I'll remind you that on the night that he was arrested, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, and he explained, "This is my body which is broken for you." As often as you eat this bread, remember me. And then there are some cups of juice on your table, if you would take one of those. We remember that after supper, Jesus took the cup, and after blessing it, he explained, "This represents the new promise from God that is surging through my veins. As often as you drink this cup, remember me." Oh God, with the taste fresh in our mouths, we do remember. And we give you thanks for the people on whose shoulders we stand this day, and for the people of the future who will stand on our shoulders. Help us always to remember you, your sacrifice, and your calling. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.